Hi again, and welcome to Emrin's Podcast, episode 89. Today is Friday, May 16th, 2008. My name is Arthur, and I am a gay American now living in New Zealand. Welcome to my podcast. Today I had my one-week checkup for my eye surgery, so I'll tell you about that first. Then I have a little bit about American politics. Then after phone comment, I have a bit about New Zealand politics, and then comments. And finally today, I have a special feature, maybe a one-off feature, we'll see. But as I said, today I did have my one-week checkup on my eyes, and the eye doctor was very pleased with my corneas. And how many times do people tell you that in an average day or in an average week? But no, he said that they're going very well and went over any issues I had. I haven't experienced any dryness, which apparently a lot of people do after the procedure. My eyes have just been normal. And he tested them, and they are basically normal. My right eye, which is the stronger of the two, is a bit stronger than normal. And my left eye is just about normal. So, I mean, that's a really good result, considering how nearsighted I was beforehand. And that's basically it. My next appointment isn't until a month from now. And I don't really expect there's going to be anything much to report between now and then. He said for the next week I should avoid rubbing my eyes, as I have been the past week. But after that, I should pretty much treat the eyes as my own. And I'm thinking, well, weren't they in the first place? But no, it was really good news. Everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. No side effects that I've noticed yet. And everything's good. Yeah, but it is really unusual getting used to this whole being able to see without any sort of correction. Because it is the first time, well, obviously in my adult life, but it's the first time that I can remember, really. Since I've had to wear glasses or contacts for so long now, I really don't remember a time when I didn't have something correcting my vision. So this is very unusual. I actually, I don't know if I should admit this, but I started recording this earlier today. I brought the Adderall with me, and I was going to record it in the car on the way home so then I could move on to other things once I got home. Slight problem. Apparently, I didn't hit the pause button hard enough to start it actually recording. So I spent the whole time just talking to myself with the recorder sitting in the seat next to me doing nothing. This time it was my fault because I put in fresh batteries, but I'm beginning to think I should just give up on that whole idea. But Nigel's helping me upgrade my mobile recording system so that hopefully when I go to do an interview with somebody somewhere else, I can actually pretty much essentially bring my studio with me, which will be really cool. But I'll tell you about that more once it's all set up, and doesn't really affect you anyway, I suppose, but you just might be mildly interested. But just an update on the podcast changing situation. I've started uploading my old episodes to the new site. I haven't gotten very far because it takes forever. I don't know, maybe our tubes are too small in this end of the world. But it just takes a long time. But my plan, this of course is episode 89, my plan is that 10 episodes from now, episode 99, will be my last that goes through the current way of posting and so on, and that episode 100 will be only on the new system. That's the plan, but I will keep you up to date. Once I have all of the episodes uploaded, then I'll start telling you about the feeds and all of that sort of stuff. But until it's all there, I really don't want to bother. But the other thing I wanted to talk about a bit today was politics, U.S. politics specifically, because just recently, of course, John Edwards endorsed Barack Obama for the presidency. Now, everybody knows that Barack Obama is going to be the Democratic nominee. I don't think there's really anybody who disputes that anymore. However, there may be some people who are wondering where I'm at the moment, because, of course, as I've said before, I voted for John Edwards in the Illinois Democratic primary because I had to cast my ballot in January. I had to mail my ballot in January to make sure that it would get back there in time. And while it was in transit, he pulled out of the race. Well, in that sense, it doesn't affect me at all because, I mean, I don't necessarily do what he does, obviously. However, I do know that Barack Obama will be the Democratic nominee, and it's kind of silly to pretend otherwise. What I have noticed, I've noticed a change in recent weeks in the negativity I complained about earlier between supporters of Obama on the one hand and Clinton on the other seems to have softened. And people, maybe it's that Clinton supporters are resigned to the fact that Obama's going to win the nomination, I don't know. But they seem to have softened somewhat, and I've noticed that Hillary Clinton now is directing more of her attention, I suppose, towards McCain and the Republicans, as she should. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people are saying that Hillary should pull out of the campaign, and I don't think she should. And here's why. If she stays in the campaign, she's going to continue drawing attention to the Democrats, not just to her, but also to Barack Obama, and also keep the focus off of John McCain. And that is to the Democrats' advantage. Keep Americans thinking about the Democrats, and liking the Democrats, wanting to support the Democrats, and not even paying any attention to John McCain. That's why when I was on Archer's group show, somebody mentioned, I think it was Archer mentioned, I haven't listened yet. Sorry, Archer. Somebody mentioned Ron Paul having a protest or whatever at the Republican convention. And I said that I didn't want him to do that because that would just create more drama and make people pay attention to McCain and the Republicans. And I don't want that. And so for that reason, because I want the focus on the Democrats and off of McCain, I think Hillary should stay in the campaign until the end, even though she can't possibly win the nomination, so long as she doesn't go attacking Obama. If she starts attacking Democrats, then that's going to be counterproductive. But so long as she stays on message and focuses on attacking McCain's positions and the Republicans' positions, I have no problem with her staying in the campaign to the very end. And there actually is a huge precedent for a lot of contested campaigns, not just among Democrats. In 1976, it wasn't completely clear that Gerald Ford was going to get the nomination. It looked like Ronald Reagan may have gotten it. Of course, he didn't in the end. Ford got it. But it wasn't clear going into the convention necessarily that Ford had it locked up. But anyway, that's just a little side thing I wanted to say about the U.S. presidential election campaign. But right now, I'm going to sort of change gears and play a phone comment.
Hey, Arthur. It's Eric the Southern Boy. Long time no speak, huh? I just thought I'd give you a call and say hi because I've been listening silently for these last few weeks instead of chiming in the way I usually do. And I just wanted to say that I hope your eyes are healing nicely. I just listened to the last episode where you were hating on the goggles. It's weird that I'm sort of kind of looking forward to maybe the day that my eyesight is actually bad enough to where they would attempt that surgery. My eyes aren't very bad, and I wear glasses and contacts, and I love contacts, but I hate the hassle, and I hate glasses because, you know, I can't do my typical gay eye rolls and stuff and still see. I actually had a question for you, and I'm ashamed to admit that if you've ever discussed it before, I've actually forgotten it. But I was just curious that New Zealand is a parliament, right? So the citizens don't actually vote on the political leader the way we do as president. And I was just curious, this may be anecdotal more than anything else, but what does a country like New Zealand think about something like our primary process where we have parties, but they're actually electing their sort of quote-unquote party leader in a separate election rather than sort of the mandate that brings the party into major power, and then that party then turns around and selects their candidate? I'm just curious. All right, take care, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Well, thanks for that, Eric. Well, first of all, the first part, yes, everything's gone well with my eyes, and you don't necessarily have to have bad eyesight to have LASIK eye surgery. It's more dramatic if you do have bad eyesight. I, of course, wore both contacts and glasses, but the thing I hated about glasses was that I had no peripheral vision. Well, I did, but I mean, it was so dim, so out of focus, I might as well have not had it. Whereas whenever I wore contacts, I had my peripheral vision. And that's the thing I like best about contact lenses. But the better your vision is, the more certain it is that you'll end up with perfect vision when they're done. The worse your vision is, the less likely it is. Although still most people end up with normal vision. Apparently they can correct really quite bad vision now, even more than the -9 that the lady told me about the other day. So, it's something that's at least worth talking with your optometrist about, not just you, Eric, but but anybody who might be wondering, oh, I wonder if I could get rid of this hassle once and for all, because even slight correction can really make a huge difference in your life. And among other things, you get to wear fabulous sunglasses all the time, even at night. Now, the second part of your question is a bit more involved, obviously, and I haven't talked about that, the main point in your question. I've talked about other bits and pieces, in different podcasts, not all together in one necessarily. But first to explain how New Zealand is. New Zealand is a parliamentary democracy. It's has a system that's similar to that used in the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia, and other countries. And there is a head of state, and there is a parliament. A parliament is the supreme government of the land, the supreme authority of the land, and it's elected by the people. And in New Zealand is a monarchy, so the head of state is the Queen of England, she's Queen of New Zealand, represented in New Zealand by a governor general who's appointed by parliament. Now, the head of government in a parliamentary democracy is usually called the prime minister. In a republic, they're often called a premier. But in Commonwealth countries that are still monarchies, British descendants from Britain, it's a prime minister. And the prime minister is the leader, generally speaking, of the largest party in the House. So in American terms, it's a bit like the Speaker of the House running the government, and the president essentially being a figurehead who does ceremonial things, gives consent to laws, although they are required to. They can't withhold the consent. Now, there are strengths and weaknesses, obviously, in both systems, in a parliamentary system and the American system, but they are very different from one another. In a parliamentary system like New Zealand has, the party caucus in parliament chooses who is going to be the leader of the party and therefore prime minister. So there's no separate selection for the prime minister. We don't elect a prime minister separately. So because of that, most New Zealanders can't understand really what's going on in America. They know that the U.S. president is elected. Don't even get me started on the Electoral College. They can't get that at all. They think that's the dumbest thing they've ever heard of. And I sort of agree with them on that. But the major primary contests have been on the evening news here all the time. It's reported in the newspaper and on news websites and things like that. And I've often ended up explaining what's going on to New Zealanders. And it's really hard because, I mean, we Americans take it for granted because we've all grown up with some variation on the system we have now. But to try to explain to somebody who has no clue what you're talking about, what's going on and why, it gets really difficult. Why does that happen? Well, it just does. I mean, that's sometimes what you have to fall back on. They don't get why people are voting or having caucuses or what have you to select a party leader. And a lot of them think that this is the selection process, and then one of these people is going to emerge through this election process as president. They don't realize this is just to go to the convention, and then there's going to be another campaign after that. And the reason they don't get that, I think, is because, as I said, in a New Zealand system, the party selects its own leader, who is then, if it's the largest party, will be the head of government. The strength of a parliamentary system, and I have said this before, is that if the party becomes unpopular while they're still in office, you know, between elections, the party can depose the prime minister and put somebody else in as the head of government. So if the prime minister becomes really unpopular, like George Bush is, they just boot them out and put somebody else in, and hopefully they can rescue their program. Although, generally speaking, if a prime minister ends up, we call it being rolled, if a prime minister ends up being replaced by another member of the caucus, generally speaking, they end up losing the next election. Or very often that's the case anyway. So it's not a given that the party is going to save itself just by changing its leader. So I hope that covers most of the points you were raising in your question. If not, you know, by all means, let me know. I'll try to go back over it. But essentially, New Zealanders don't really understand what's going on in America completely because our system here in New Zealand is so very different. And the people in New Zealand don't directly select the prime minister. What they do is they vote for their local member of parliament for a particular party. And theoretically, if that party is successful in forming government, then they will indirectly select the person who will be prime minister. Going into an election, you know who the leaders of the party are. And so if that party is successful, that person will become prime minister. So it's not like it's a big mystery or secret or anything like that. You know what's going to happen. And I don't know. I'm tending to prefer a parliamentary system nowadays, mostly because it is so easy to effect change. You don't have to wait for a decade to get to work through a a process. It can happen quickly. The downside is that in New Zealand, at least, since there's no written constitution, it's too easy sometimes to change things. Not that that's happened, but it could happen. And I personally would prefer a written constitution to slow some things down a little bit anyway. But that's a bit of a digression, I realize. But I am going to be talking more about the New Zealand election in the weeks ahead, even at the same time that I'm talking about the American election, probably, because the campaign is really beginning in earnest, I'd say. The current party of government, the current party leading the government, is the New Zealand Labour Party, which I'm a member of. It is a centre-left party, which means that it is to the left side of centre in the political spectrum. It typically calls itself a social democratic party, which means it's not socialist. It's more to the right of socialists, but it's to the left of mainstream. It's probably to the left of the U.S. Democratic Party, I would say. It's probably more the Dennis Kucinich wing of the Democratic Party than it is the Hillary Clinton wing, say. And the other main party is called the New Zealand National Party, which is a right-of-center party. I think it's not as conservative as it used to be. I think it's moved more toward the center than it was, because obviously in New Zealand, as with most Western democracies, most voters are in the center of the spectrum. They're not at either end. But I'm not sure, and I hope to be doing some more research into that during the time of the campaign. I am mostly going to be talking about the New Zealand election by myself because, well, quite frankly, there aren't that many people I can talk about it with. This is going to become up more often, in the weeks ahead, the New Zealand side of things, the New Zealand campaign. The current party of government, the Labour Party, the Treasurer is about to release the new budget, which is going to have tax cuts for New Zealanders, which the Conservative National Party has been promoting for years. So that's obviously going to be a campaign issue in the campaign ahead. So sort of a heads up, I'm going to be talking more about New Zealand politics in future episodes. But speaking of New Zealand and talking about New Zealand in episodes, I have mentioned a couple of times now that I'm going to be doing an episode specifically about moving to New Zealand. And I've started getting some questions by email and on comments and things like that. And I would like to encourage you, if there's anything you'd like to know about moving to New Zealand or about New Zealand generally, by all means, send me an email to Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrins.com, or you can leave a comment if you want. And I will address that. I am going to be doing that episode later this month. I don't know when precisely, but sometime this month. So by all means, do get your question into me, and I would love to include your question in that episode. But now I'm going to move on to the written comments. And first, not directly on any website, obviously, I got a postcard from Nancy in Japan. Thank you very much, Nancy. She was pleased to hear that my surgery went smoothly, but she says, keep your eyes wide open. I always do, Nancy. But thank you very much for the postcard. I really appreciate it. And now I'm going to hop over to the website and read the comments there. And also, I have gotten a number of people lately who've been downloading the older episodes, which means I'm likely to have some newer listeners. And I just want to repeat that the reason I read the comments is that most of my listeners never go to my website. And so they have no idea what comments people have left. And also, it gives me the opportunity to expand a little bit on the comments that are there, or my answers to the comments. So the first comment was from David, that Blue Jeans Guy Bird, who said, Arthur, glad to hear the surgery went well and that you recovered quickly. I've considered going under the laser, and your experience is encouraging. Still love listening to your show and looking forward to hearing the progress report on your eyes. And I said, thanks so much. Yes, my recovery has gone very well. While LASIK is a serious procedure, and of course people should consider risks as well as benefits, I do recommend the procedure. A little discomfort for the dramatic difference makes it all worthwhile, I think. And I do. Actually, anyone in New Zealand who would like to consider this, I do have 3 vouchers for $200 off the procedure, if you're interested. You do have to be in Auckland for a week, because they do the procedure one day, and then you come back a week later for follow-up, and then again a month later. So you would have to be in Auckland for an entire week, but you're only out of commission for one day, the day of the procedure. So anybody in New Zealand who would like to go to the Eye Institute and have LASIK eye surgery, I do have a $200 off voucher. Actually, I've got 3 of them. Next up was Archer, who said, glad to hear your eye surgery came out so well. Congrats on the eyesight. And I said, thanks. I much prefer this system to endless prescription changes and the expense and difficulty dealing with it all. On Archie's group show, we were talking about a little bit, and he was saying that he didn't like the idea of contacts and having to put those things in his eyes all the time, but he said he only needs glasses for reading. If I only needed glasses for reading, I probably wouldn't have gotten it done either. In fact, it probably wouldn't have helped, because it doesn't stop or really correct for age-related vision decline, which is called presbyopia, by the way. But because my vision was so bad, I just thought, oh, let's just take the plunge and see what happens. Actually, as an aside, when I was telling the eye doctor about thing about being able to see the clock for the first time, and he smiled and he said, yeah, it's amazing how sometimes it's the little things you notice the most. And it's so true. Next up was Grayson, who said, congrats on the new eyes. Was the other smell, the one you couldn't quite identify, nutmeg, perhaps? And I said, actually, it was kind of spice-like, a kind of a spice-like smell, on top of the singed hair smell, but it wasn't offensive or anything. It was one of those, that's odd, kind of smells. I would love to know why you mentioned nutmeg in particular, but it was a spicy smell. I'd have to smell it again, to be honest, to know if it was nutmeg or not. But I don't think that's likely that I'm going to be smelling that, because in order to do that, I would have to undergo another procedure, and I don't think that's going to be happening. So, but that's it for the comments for today. And by all means, do leave a comment on my blog, which is amrens.com. And of course, you can always send an email to me at arthur@amrens.com. And you can send you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. Now, finally today and this week, I wrote up a little something that I thought I would read. I've very seldom done this before, and I don't know that I'm going to make a habit of it, but it's sort of a final thought for the week. Today, of course, the California Supreme Court issued a ruling that struck down the ban on same-sex marriage. And so that just got me to thinking about a whole variety of things. I've blogged about the whole issue, but I just thought I would share sort of a final thought for the week. And I'm not going to post this on my blog, so this is the only place you're going to hear it. I was going to say see it, but you're not going to see it anywhere. So this is called One Day. Today, the California Supreme Court struck a note for justice, for fairness, and in support of the fundamental principles of freedom and equality before the law. It was all the better because these days it's so rare. We live in a time when people who promote hatred and bigotry are treated as if they merely have a different opinion. They are people who would deny to a certain of their fellow citizens what America's founders called the blessings of liberty. And why, exactly? No rational reason, not even a principled philosophical stand. Rather, it's because their particular subsection of a religious faith tells them they must pursue the politics of exclusion and denial of liberty. There is much disagreement among the religious as to what the proper position is for people of faith. The people who use their faith as a weapon are a tiny minority who have beaten the reasonable majority into silence. But, as the saying goes, silence implies consent, and those who don't speak out against those who would deny freedom and liberty to their fellow citizens are as guilty as if they themselves led the charge. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil, as Edmund Burke observed, is for good people to do nothing. In the coming election campaign, there will be plenty of opportunities for good people to do something, anything, to help put an end to the work of the opponents of freedom and liberty. But that's up ahead. There'll be much more drama then, some heartaches, and hopefully some successes. But today, I just want to celebrate that for this one day, one court in one state got one thing so very right. Let's celebrate that today, for once, someone stood up for the equality of gay and lesbian citizens. But let's all vow that this won't be the last time. And that's my final thought for the week. I hope you have a great weekend, everybody, and I'll talk to you again next week. Bye.